Welcome to the Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark. I trust you've had a good week walking with the Lord. You're on the Voice of Hope. It's a place to encourage you in your walk with the Lord. And God calls every day to walk with Him. God wants to be part of our life every day. And He wants to give us victory in our life. And we're going to talk about how we can walk in that victory that Christ has for us. You can always listen to the Voice of Hope by going to my website, voiceofhopetoday.org, voiceofhopetoday.org. I post all my radio messages on my website. And so I just want to bring a word to you today that the Lord spoke to me earlier this week on open doors. I believe we're in a place where God is opening up a door for His glory and His power to be revealed in the earth. And I want to talk about that open door God is giving to us to reach the lost for Jesus Christ and to walk in the power and authority He has given us by the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. And so I want to begin by looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 8 and 9. 1 Corinthians 16, 8 and 9. And Paul is in the city of Ephesus, and we're going to talk about Ephesus in a few minutes, a city of Ephesus, and he's writing the people in the city of Corinth, the book of Corinthians. So there's 1 Corinthians 16, verse 8 and 9. And Paul says, "But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door is open to me, but there are many adversaries." Lord God, we just pray You'll bless Your word today. Help us to understand, Lord God, all that You have for us, the power and authority You have for us through Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that You'll move by Your Spirit upon the heart of every person listening to this program today, Lord God. Encourage them by Your Spirit. Empower them by Your Spirit, Lord God. Lord, I believe we live in times where You will show forth Your glory and power in the earth. And Lord, I just pray You'll speak to us by Your word today, in Jesus' name, amen. And so we're going to be talking about 1 Corinthians 16, 8, and 9. Then we're going to go to Acts chapter 19, which talks about Paul evangelizing the city of Ephesus. But Paul says, "I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost." Now, Paul was talking about a big celebration they had in Jerusalem every year, celebrating the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the early church in Acts chapter 2. And so that was the festival Paul was talking about. But Pentecost is a time of the outpouring of God's power, when God poured out His Holy Spirit, empowered the church. Peter preached, 3,000 people got saved. He preached again, 5,000 men were saved, plus women and children. All of Jerusalem was changed, and the lives of people were changed by the power of Jesus Christ. And I believe God wants to pour out the power of His Spirit today on His church to empower us to reach the end time harvest. I think the return of Christ is very soon, and things are getting worse and worse in the world. But as things get worse in the world, God is going to pour out His Holy Spirit upon His people, and God is going to show forth His power to bring in the end time harvest of souls. And so I believe we live in the greatest days of the history of the church, because God is preparing His people for the return of Jesus Christ. So we should not focus on things of the world, but we need to focus on Jesus Christ. Know that we have a hope and a future in Jesus Christ. A day will come when the Bible says that a trump of God will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise up, and those who are alive and remain will rise up to be with the Lord in the air, and will forever be with the Lord. We have that hope and that future. But Jesus is coming back again, and the time of His return, I believe, is very soon. But we need to prepare ourselves. It's not a time to relax, but we need to prepare ourselves for the return of Christ. So Paul arrives in the city of Ephesus. Ephesus was a big, major city. It was the biggest city in the area called Asia Minor, which was in Turkey today. And it was a center of commerce. It was also the center of government and the center of religion. And so Paul came to Ephesus. And when Paul came to Ephesus, there were no Christians, no churches in Ephesus. There were some Jews in Ephesus, but most of the people in Ephesus worshipped a god named Diana. Now, Diana was a fertility god. In other words, they believed the goddess Diana helped them have children. The goddess Diana brought the rain, helped their crops to prosper. So almost everyone in Ephesus and throughout Asia Minor worshipped the goddess Diana. She was a very powerful figure. Everybody worshipped her. When they had children, they would dedicate their child to this goddess Diana because they thought that goddess Diana was the one who enabled them to have children. And they would do ceremonies together. They would put things on the baby's wrist, put things on the baby's ankle. They would sometimes put markings on the baby's face as a dedicating. And this was part of the tradition of the people in Ephesus and throughout Asia Minor because they worshiped this goddess Diana. And so Paul arrives in Ephesus, and there's not one Christian in Ephesus. Everyone else was in the tradition of worshiping this goddess Diana and going through all the ceremonies and sacrifices they did to please the goddess Diana. And so Paul arrives in Ephesus, and Paul writes to Corinthians, "But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost." So Ephesus was a very hard place to reach. There were no churches, no Christians, nothing. No one had heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Paul saw a great opportunity in Ephesus, and he saw an opportunity to introduce people to the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Romans 1:17, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes." Paul believed that the gospel of Jesus Christ had the power to save everyone, no matter what their problem was, to save them, not just to save them to go to heaven, but save them from sickness, save them from disease, save them from poverty, save them from witchcraft, save them from everything. And in Ephesus, to save them from this worship of this goddess Diana. Paul believed in the power of the gospel. And I want to tell you today, the gospel is powerful. The gospel is the good news about Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God. He came to earth. He lived a life, a victorious life. Everywhere he went, he healed the sick, cast out demons, walked in the power of God, demonstrated the power of God. Then he died for our sins and rose again, and he sent the Holy Spirit to fill us to operate in the same power that he operated when he was on earth. And that is our hope and our future in Jesus Christ. And so Paul comes to Ephesus. There's not one Christian. But Paul says, "I'm going to wait in Ephesus and work in Ephesus until the power of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost, comes to Ephesus." Because Paul understood that the power of the gospel rested on the power of the Holy Spirit to change lives. See, Christianity is not like a religion where you obey a bunch of laws. Christianity is based on the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. There is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. So salvation comes when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. But we don't have to just do religious things. We receive the Holy Spirit to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and overcome the works of the enemy and walk in victory by the power of the Holy Spirit. So we come into the gospel of Jesus Christ by faith in Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and takes away our sin. But we live a Christian life by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Paul came to Ephesus, I'm going to wait in Ephesus until I see the Pentecost, until I see the power of the Holy Spirit change people's lives. And then in verse 9, he says, "For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." So he sees Ephesus as a great opportunity for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he also saw that there were many challenges in Ephesus because everyone was worshiping his goddess Diana, and they were committed to the goddess Diana, and all their traditions and things were based around this goddess Diana. So there's lots of challenges, but Paul saw it as a great opportunity, a great open door. And you know, in the midst of the challenges we have today, we have a great open door. Because when things are going good, people don't seek for Jesus Christ. But when things are getting bad, people seek for Jesus Christ. The church I'm a part of here in America, we have people saved almost every Sunday, and we have water baptism every month. And we have so many people, our church is growing so rapidly, we cannot even have space for all the people. We're having to rent other buildings and enlarge our place because we are having so much growth. Because people see the wickedness that's in our world today. They see all the problems in our world today. And we are out there telling them that Jesus Christ is the answer. And as we demonstrate the power of Jesus Christ, people are filling our churches. People are getting saved. Because when the enemy comes in, it's an opportunity for God to show forth his glory and his power. So Paul says here, I'm going to stay in Ephesus until I see the power of the Holy Spirit, for there is a great door of opportunity for me that's open, but there are many adversaries, many against me. And so, you know, I believe as you're listening in Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, and Burundi, as you listen in other countries by the internet, that we have a door of opportunity. God is getting ready to pour out his Holy Spirit and his power to bring in the end time harvest. But we need to do it God's way. God has a way for us to operate and live so we can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and bring in the end time harvest. And I think we can see that as we look at Acts chapter 19 and see how Paul evangelized Ephesus with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So in Acts chapter 19, verse 1, and it says, and it happened while Apollos was in Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper region, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard anything about the Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? And they said, the baptism of John. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized you with the baptism of repentance, saying, the people, that they should believe on him who would come after him, and that is on Jesus Christ. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with other tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 men in all. So Paul arrives in Ephesus, and he finds some disciples who are praying. And these are not disciples of Jesus Christ. They're disciples of John the Baptist. They had not even heard about Jesus Christ yet, but they had heard about John the Baptist. And they had been baptized in water of repentance like John the Baptist baptized. And so Paul comes and he finds these 12 people that are seeking God. You know, the first key to starting revival is to find people that are seeking God. These people were seeking for God. You know, when we seek for God, we will find him. We have to have a desire for God. So the best thing you can do to grow the church and grow the kingdom of God is to find people who are really seeking after God. Not just seeking religion, but seeking after God. So they were seeking after Jesus Christ. They were seeking after God. And Paul says to them, have you been baptized yet? And so, no, well, we were just baptized in, according to the baptism of John. So Paul baptized them again in the Holy Spirit. And he called them to repent and be baptized. You know, in Acts chapter 2, when Peter had finished preaching on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, verse 13, people said, what must we do? When they heard the message of Peter preaching by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Peter said, repent, every one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So three things that they always did in the early church. They call people to repentance. Repentance means to change the way you live. See, accepting Jesus Christ isn't just accepting Christ as your Savior. It's meaning you're committing your life to him. You make Jesus your Lord and King. And part of that, you have to repent. Repent means to turn away. You turn away from the things of the world, and you follow Jesus Christ. See, before we can see the power of God, there needs to be repentance that has to happen, a change that has to happen in us. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land." So the writer here is writing to the people of God. If my people, these are God's people. In the Old Testament, this was the people of Israel. Today, that's children of God. That's you and me. If my people, God's people, Christians, if Christians who call on the name of Jesus Christ will humble themselves, pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. So we have to get in a place where we repent, turn from our wicked ways, and seek God's face, humble ourselves before God. And then God will hear from heaven and forgive our sins and heal our land. See, it begins repentance. Revival in Ephesus began with repentance. And then they were baptized. When you're baptized, Paul says you die to the old man you were. You're raised into a new life in Jesus Christ. The old you is gone. The new person has come. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new." There needs, God is looking for people who are seeking for him, people who are willing to die to their old man, leave their old traditions and ways, and put their faith totally in Jesus Christ. Repent from their sins, turn from their wicked ways, humble, and seek God's face. Then God will hear from heaven and heal our land. So God is looking for a new people. So Paul says, and he baptized them, and then he laid hands on them, and they all received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, we walk in the power of God. It says, Paul laid hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied, and there were 12 men in all. So Paul arriving in Ephesus, and this is the key to transformation, Paul found a small group of people that were praying and seeking for God. They wanted to see God do a work. They weren't out there trying to do work. They wanted to see God do a work. Every revival that's ever happened in the history of the church has started with God's people who will humble themselves and seek God's face and turn from their wicked ways. And so they were all found people who were seeking God. They were baptized in the name of Jesus. They died to their old man. They became new people in Christ Jesus. They rose up and they received the power of the Holy Spirit. This was the tradition of the early church. Repent, get baptized in water, and receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit empowers us to live the Christian life. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the helper who helps us. So Paul arrives in Ephesus. He finds 12 men who are seeking God. They repent of their sin. They're baptized in water. They come up. They give their lives fully to Jesus Christ. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. Then it says, then Paul in verse 10, and it says, and Paul took the disciples, and he began to teach them daily in the school of Tyrannus. Now, Tyrannus was a public school. It was like a high school or secondary school. And Paul went and rented a room in the school, and he began to teach people daily in this temple. So people, I want to understand the way things happen here. People were seeking God when they heard the good news of Jesus Christ. They accepted Christ as their Savior. They repented of their sin, turned away from their sin. They were baptized in water, died to their old man, came up again. They received the Holy Spirit. Then Paul began to teach them the word of God. And he began to teach them the God, and it says, and this continued for 2 years. So all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So Paul didn't travel all over Asia evangelizing. It says Paul taught for 2 years. He taught disciples, trained disciples, and they went throughout all of Asia. And it says everyone in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the word of God is what changes and transforms people. The word of God is what makes us into men and women of God. Not the word of the world, but the word of God. You know, I was a missionary in Haiti, the country of Haiti, for 9 years. Haiti was a country that was dedicated to witchcraft. And witchcraft controlled people. Witch doctors controlled people. And they would send curses on people. And people would get sick or die from these curses. And so people paid witch doctors for protection. And they paid witch doctors to send curses. And we had a lady in our church. She loved Jesus Christ. And she went to church all the time. She worshiped God. But she was afraid of witch doctors because two of her children had instantly died from curses that were sent by witch doctors. And so even though she loved God and loved Jesus Christ and was saved, she didn't walk in victory. She walked in fear of witch doctors, walked in fear of the power of witch doctors. And I discovered in Haiti that the only way people get free from the power of witch doctors and the fear of Satan and witchcraft was to be taught the Word of God. And as they grew in word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So as you hear the Word of God and grow in the Word of God, you grow in faith. And as people grew in faith, they would overcome the power of the enemy. They overcome the fear of the enemy, overcome the fear of the witch doctor. And they begin to walk in victory. God began to prosper and change their lives. When we started our church there, we were the only vehicle in the driveway. But eventually our parking lot was filled with vehicles of men and women who had been set free by the power of the Holy Spirit, but had grown in faith through the Word of God. That's why I believe in teaching the Word of God through Bible school, because it brings transformation. So Paul taught this group of people. He taught people for 2 years, every day teaching the disciples the Word of God. And they went throughout all of Asia preaching the Word of God. And then in verse 11 says, now God worked unusual miracles by the hand of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and disease left them, and evil spirits went out of them. And so Paul, all these people, God began to demonstrate his power by bringing healing and deliverance to people. Even people were taking handkerchiefs, cloths from Paul. And as they traveled and preached the gospel, they would lay these on people and people were healed. And God was doing supernatural signs and wonders throughout all of Asia Minor, bringing transformation out of all of Asia Minor. And people begin to leave witchcraft and begin to follow Jesus Christ. And we go down in verse 19. It says, also many of those who practice magic through their books together and burn them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of these are witchcraft books and witchcraft items. And they counted the value and they totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. And a piece of silver back then was a day's wage, what you earned for working for a day. So the value of this witchcraft stuff was worth 50,000 pieces of silver. That's like you work 50,000 days. That's about 145 years of work that you work. That is the value of it. So people were transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. See, first of all, they repented of their sin. They baptized, died to the old man, came up new men. They received the Holy Spirit. Just 12 of them. That was all. See, God isn't looking for a great number of people. God's looking for people that are seeking him. People who are willing to give themselves to him. People who are willing to die to their old man, repent and turn from their wicked ways, and be able to pursue God. People who are buried in baptism, come up new people. People who are filled with the Holy Spirit. 12 people filled with the Holy Spirit, given their lives to Jesus Christ, and they received teaching daily for 2 years, and they began to go out everywhere, and the power of the Holy Spirit went with them. Signs and wonders followed with them, and God wants to pour out his Spirit on these last days, but he pours out his Spirit on people who are totally committed to him. You know, Jesus said there are people that are going to come to him in the last day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons and heal the sick? And God's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you men and women of iniquity. See, miracles is not a sign of Christianity. Miracles is a power of God. The fruit of the Spirit, a changed life, is a sign that a person is really following Jesus Christ. When they walk in love, joy, and peace, when they walk in patience, when they forgive people, walk in forgiveness, walk in holiness, that is the kind of people that God uses for his power and his glory. And so you go down to verse 20. It says, So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. The word of the Lord, the word of God, grew mightily and prevailed. It prevailed over the worship of Diana. People quit worshiping the goddess Diana. They quit following to all those traditions of dedicating their children to Diana. And they quit all the sacrifices to Diana. They turned away from the worship of Diana. And the word of God overcame the worship of Diana. The word of God overcame witchcraft. The word of God overcame sickness. The word of God overcame disease. The word of God overcame demonic influence. The word of God transformed Ephesus. And all those in Asia Minor heard the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word of God grew mightily and prevailed. I want to tell you, God's word will overcome every power of the enemy. It's when we walk according to the word of God that we, and by the Spirit of God, that we overcome every work of the enemy, that we walk in the victory that Jesus had for us. And so they had such great revival, so many people getting saved, that those who were creating idols of Diana were going out of business. So they made a big riot, and they got everybody upset because everybody was leaving the worship of idols and going to follow Jesus Christ. So God transformed in Ephesus, the city, and transformed it to Jesus Christ. And God not only changed the great city of Ephesus, but the whole Asia Minor. All the area which is now called Turkey was transformed by the word of God, by the Spirit of God. I want to tell you, Paul said, I will tarry in Ephesus. I will tarry in Bungoma. I will tarry in Kampala. I will tarry in Jinja. I will tarry in Kigali. I will tarry in Burundi. I will tarry in wherever you are. Paul says, I will tarry in Ephesus until God's power of Holy Spirit. Tarry means you're seeking God. I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great and effective door is open to me, but there are many adversaries. Lord God, I just thank you for every person listening to Voice of Hope today. Lord, I believe we live in the greatest days of the history of the church. Lord, I pray that you encourage the faith. Lord, if someone today has not accepted you as their Savior, I pray, Lord God, today they will give their lives to you. Lord, I pray we as people of God will humble ourselves and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, that you can hear from heaven and heal our land. Lord God, move by your power, Lord God. Move by your power. Deliver your people from the power of the enemy, Lord God, as they walk in your power, as they walk according to your word, Lord God. Raise up men and women in every country that listens to the voice of hope. Raise up men and women who are committed to you to walk in your grace, your love, and your power, that the gospel of Jesus Christ may spread, Lord God, and Lord, that you may bring thousands and even millions to Jesus Christ. Lord, we celebrate you today because you are great, you are powerful, you are the answer to the world today, and we look to you because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Lord, we just worship and thank you today. I just release your power right now in Jesus' name to everyone listening, and thank you, Lord. If you're encouraged today, I'll encourage you to listen to the Voice of Hope every Sunday. Invite your friends to listen to the Voice of Hope. Go to my website, thevoiceofhopetoday.org, and listen to my programs. May God bless you and keep you, and I hope you listen next Sunday to the Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark. God bless.